As a means of background, public education in Georgia in the 1880s was segregated by gender, wasn't it?
Segregated by gender, that's right. For instance, you know, there were segregated high school education for boys and girls, and certainly whatever higher education existed also was segregated by gender as well.
The Decatur Female Seminary, when it opened, was affiliated with a church.
That's right, Decatur Presbyterian Church in particular. The pastor of that church was a man named Frank Gaines, who was interested in education, and he founded this seminary, as it was called, a three-story building facing the railroad tracks in Decatur, with about 60 original students, three of whom were boarders, young women who he sought to have achieve a higher education.
It's a grammar school at that point.
That's right.
George Scott, you know, the Scott name is well known in Decatur these days, obviously,
right.
Was the principal benefactor of the school. He became interested in it, is my understanding. Who was George Scott?
Well, he was a wealthy resident of DeKalb County from a prominent family. He was also a member of the church, the Decatur Presbyterian Church, and he gave a large donation to the seminary on the condition that it was named for his mother, Agnes Scott, and consequently it became first in 1890 the Agnes Scott Institute, and it was chartered as Agnes Scott College in 1906, and I should say it was the first accredited women's college in the state of Georgia.
Was that a revolutionary idea for the Deep South in the 1890s? Of course, women's colleges existed up north. You think about Vassar and all those. But a college for women.
It's a relatively new idea. I mean, there was Wesleyan College
in Macon
and Spelman in Atlanta that had its origins in the 1880s. But it is of this period when, around this period, increasingly throughout the country, women are pursuing higher education. Obviously, you do have the models of Vassar and so forth, but it's a movement who's kind of spreading to other parts of the country. What's interesting about Agnes Scott is that by the 1920s, it has a full academic curriculum. It's not a finishing school by that time at all, although there are a lot of rules and regulations that govern the students and encourage sort of propriety and proper female behavior. But still, you know, the faculty has PhDs, and by the 1920s, alumna of Agnes Scott are going to some of the best graduate schools in the United States.
In the early days of Agnes Scott College, say prior to 1920, I mean, when it was first established as a college around the turn of the century, was the curriculum geared toward certain professions for women, or was it just to get what we would call a liberal arts education now? Or was it geared toward when you graduate, you're going to get a job?
Again, it evolves. I mean, originally, I think it is more geared toward careers like teaching and so forth. But by the 1920s, again, there are Agnes Scott grads who become mathematicians and scientists, as well as teachers in traditional female jobs. Certainly, there are plenty of alums who do not pursue careers, who get married after college and so forth. It has a very rich heritage. The poet Robert Frost used to come to Agnes Scott regularly for years and years and years and years. Agnes Scott alums have gone on to do a variety of things, you know, from the 1920s, 1930s on, to have very distinguished careers.
And the college itself earns a little extra income as a backdrop for many movies and
TV
shows.
I mean, it's a gorgeous setting. It's right along the railroad tracks, and it kind of epitomizes what people envision as a small college. And yes, there have been a number of movies. I can't think of any right now, but there have been a number of movies that have been shot on the Agnes Scott campus today.
Still maintains its affiliation with the Presbyterian Church?
Yes, although I don't know how strong that actually is. Back in the day, say in the 1920s or 1930s, there's mandatory chapel, and there was a whole host of other regulations about dress codes and chaperones and no smoking on campus and things like that. I think those days are long gone. It's a much more diverse place than it was once upon a time.
Although the Princeton Review in its annual lists of colleges recently named Agnes Scott to the top 10 of stone-cold sober schools in America.
Well, I can't speak for the Princeton Review.
That could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending
right.
on what your priorities are.
That's right.
Cliff Kuhn, thanks.
Thank you.